Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20. How many of you know what that meant? What that? I think we all do, don't we? Every time you pick up one of our brochures, one of our cards, you will see Matthew 28:18 through 20. This morning, I want to share with you from my heart about what I feel like God has given for go-to. You are go-to. You are the go-to people for God. When someone needs Jesus, you're the go-to person. When someone needs prayer, you're the go-to person. We got to remember, we are the go-to people. Not a pun on the name. We are the go-to people for God. We got to be the ones that the world would know. We got somewhere to go to. We got someone to go to. So you are the go-to people of God. I want you to look at someone, kind of pat them on the shoulder, say, you're the go-to person today. You are the go-to person. You're the go-to person. Now listen. If you're having brain surgery, you don't go to a mechanic.
Amen.
I mean, you got to go to someone that is qualified, experienced in that. So when you declare, I am the go-to person, you need to be qualified and you need to be experienced in being the go-to person. Because I can honestly tell you that if I was really in need of any kind of medical procedure, whether it be surgery or anything else, I'm going to first go to prayer before I even go to the doctor. And then if my prayer don't work, maybe God's going to use the doctor. You know, I'm not one that says we should not go to a doctor. I'm just one that says prayer works. And I believe it does, but I also believe God uses these people. But if we're going to be the go-to people, then we need to be experienced and we need to be qualified. We need to know what our job is, what we can do. Let me tell you, you can't do nothing you don't understand. You got to be able to understand what God has called you to do. Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 18th verse, the Word of God says, and Jesus came up and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, here Jesus seems to say something that is like maybe an afterthought, or maybe he's just reminding them of something, but he says, and lo, I'm with you always. And lo, I am with you always. You know, I had one time a fellow tell me he was afraid of flying. And I said, man, what? It's flying is safer than riding in a car. More people killed in cars than there are, you know, in planes. He said, I just observe the word of God and it says, lo, I'm with you always. Come on, work with me here. Work with me, because I'm not gonna preach long this morning, so you have to be thinking. Okay, but really he was kind of like, you'd want to look at it as an afterthought, but it wasn't. It was like, remember.
Right.
Remember, I'm with you all. See, Jesus knew that they were going to come against opposition. Jesus knew that they were going to come against temptation. You know, Jesus knew that that they were going to have to need more than themselves. And that's the reason that when he sent them out two by two, that they could encourage and lift one another up, pray for one another. And then we also got to remember that he says, I want you to know that you're going to go through some stuff and you're going to think you're all alone. But let me tell you, I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'm with you always. Listen, I go back over my life, and there's times in my life that I was at the lowest ebb, and I was wondering where God was and what was going on and have I missed, have I done. Whatever it is, God, you got to show me this. I just feel like I'm so alone. But during that time is when I recognized that God was with me. How many of you know God allows you sometimes to get in circumstances and situations and things in your life that you cannot work them out just so he can work them out for you? You know, sometimes we just need to be able to go to God and just say, God, I can't do it. I've tried everything. I've prayed. I've done all the physical and the things that I feel like that I can do, but it's not working for me, and I've got to depend on you. I've got to be able to depend on you, God. And so here we are at places in our lives that we find that we seem to be all alone, but God is always there with us. And he was saying, now listen, you're going to face some things and you're going to come across some things that you're going to feel like that you're all alone, but I'm always with you. You know, to me, that's one of the most encouraging things in the world, is to know that God is with me. God is with me, even in my rebellion, God is with me. Even though I'm off kilter somewhere, God is with me. And if you look over your life, church, you're just like I am. There's a lot of times the enemy could have took me out. I've been in times where the enemy could have took me out and I wouldn't have even known it until I woke up, wherever that would be. But, you know, I'm just saying we need to recognize that sometimes we feel all alone, but just to know that God is with us. We're never alone. We're never alone. And regardless of what we're facing, he said, don't forget. I'm always with you. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I just got to know, that's got to be comforting to someone other than me this morning, that God is with us. I know that some of you have felt alone, just like I have. And I know that you may have had people around you. How many of you know that you can feel alone in a room full of people? Oh, listen, I've been in situations to where I felt as out of place as a piano at a Church of Christ convention. I've just been just out. Y'all don't know what that is, do you? But I have just, you know, you feel like you're alone and you're around a whole bunch of people. Listen, I just want you to know that you're not alone. And even though there may be people around you and you feel that way, or there may not be people around you, you are not alone. You're not alone. Sometimes you need to just give God glory for being there. You just need to give God glory for being where you are and being there with you and making sure that you're not alone. And when you're facing stuff, you're able to throw your shoulders back and stick your chest out and say, I know I'm not in this thing by myself. God is with me. Everywhere I go, no matter what I'm doing, my God is with me. Yeah. All right. Watch this. Now, how many of you have been places that you kind of wish God wasn't with you? Everybody hold your hand up, because we've all been in places that we were not proud of it, so we know God wasn't. So we've been in places that we really want God, didn't want. And can I tell you something? I said, that's when you really need him. That's when you really need him. You need him when you don't want him there. Oh, listen, it's kind of like you need to pray when you're not praying. You know, prayer is probably the most powerful thing you and I possess, is prayer. Prayer is powerful. You may not believe it, but prayer is powerful. Next to repentance is the most powerful thing in your life. Repentance is so important that God commanded every man, everywhere, every day to repent. So much for those people think they never sin. But prayer is the most powerful thing that you possess. And when you go to God in prayer, your attitude depends on your answer. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to God, I'm going to be positive. And I'm going to go to him and say, God, I know you can. And I know that you will. And I know that you're going to. And it may not be the way I want it, but whichever way you give it to me, I'm going to accept it, give you glory for it. I'm going to praise you for it. And I'm going to know that you're God and you sent it to me. The power of prayer is so, so great. And we're going to see in this morning's passage of Scripture where it was so, prayer meant so much to David that when he wrote his psalms, his songs, it was mostly about prayer. It was about communicating with God. It was about prayer. But when you're alone is when you need to know that God is there, even though people are around you and you still feel alone. Listen, you're never alone. God is always with you. It's easy. It's easy for us to feel his presence when everything's going good. I'm telling you, when all the bills are paid and the tuition's paid and you got money in the bank and everybody loves you, which is never true. You know, if you feel that way sometimes, just say, Lord, thank you for my ignorance. You know, just be glad that you have a moment of relief there. But you do, when these things are happening in your life and everything's going good and you've got your studying behind you and you've got your work behind you, you've got all of these things and you're just kind of like enjoying life, it's easy to feel His presence. But when everything's against you, when it seems like the bills are not paid and it seems like I can't comprehend what I'm reading and I can't seem to get it in my spirit and things are not going well on the job and nobody likes me. That's when it's hard to feel His presence. But that's when you've got to know He's there. That's when you must know. That's when it's the most important in your life is to know that He's there, is when everything's falling apart. When everything's falling apart, you can say, you know what? It may not look good today, and I may not like the way things are going right now, but I know that tomorrow is a new day, and I know that today is going to pass, and I'm going to forget about this day, and I'm going to start looking for tomorrow, and God's going to bless me, and I guarantee the next thing you know, you think you're Pentecostal. You just got to recognize the fact that you it doesn't matter what you're going through. God is with you, and God takes us into things, but He always brings us out of things. Yeah. You read the book, he never takes His people into anything. He takes them through it. He'll lead you into it, then He'll lead you through it, and then He'll take you out of it. You just got to be obedient to Him. He rejoices with you when you're on the mountaintop. God loves for things to go well in your life. He rejoices with you when that happens. But He's also with you in the valley. Now watch this. Watch this, church. He rejoices with you when you're on the mountaintop. And you need to rejoice with Him when you're in the valley.
Amen.
He rejoices with you on the mountaintop. You need to rejoice with Him in the valley. And all things give thanks. Thanks. Thank you. And all things give thanks, Paul said. Give Him thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, God wrote your end when He wrote the beginning of the whole earth. He wrote it then. It's still valuable today, and you need to recognize that. Whatever happens to you, once you believe in God, even though you don't like it, if you're not in rebellion, God has allowed it to happen to help you. How many of you need help this morning? We all do. We all do. And we've been in these situations where we felt, but we got to realize that it's easy. It's easy to accept His presence when everything is going good, but when it's not going good, we need to begin to rejoice in Him. Just begin to rejoice.
Amen.
Just rejoice. Just love Him. I tell you, this may sound a little silly to some of you, but sometimes you just need to make up a good song and sing it to the Lord.
Amen.
Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Look at somebody and say, sing a new song. That's a made-up song. That's new that no one's ever sung. I was sharing with a couple of my friends a little bit ago. We sing the same songs. We just sing them differently. You know, they got the same words. We just sing them different. And sometimes I'm wondering, is this the same song? Or I'm wondering, how come I know this song? Well, you've been singing it for about 40 years. But you're just singing it differently. Are you with me? Listen, church, we need to recognize the fact that God is with us, and we just need to begin to rejoice. When we're in our lowest ebb, when we're in our deepest valley, when things are not going well, we need to just make up a new song, make up a song to Him, and just sing out loud.
Amen.
Just sing out loud, sing out loud, sing out loud. Just sing it to Him, sing it to Him. You know, I've been pastoring for over 45 years. And the only thing that they've ever asked me not to do was sing. You know, but when I'm by myself, I get to do what I want to do. I don't have to worry about whether anybody likes it or is pleased with it or is displeased. I just do it. In those times that you're by yourself, you can just make up those songs. Listen, if you have, try it. I want to just encourage you, just make up a song to Jesus one day. Just sing him a song. Tell him, I'm not going to tell you what to say, but just tell him how, you know, whatever's in your heart, and just go to singing it to him. And if you don't like it, get in the shower and do it. It always sounds good in the shower. I don't care who, even I sound pretty good in the shower. So just sing it out loud. Sing it to him. Let him know how wonderful you really think he is. Let him know, sir, even though I feel like I'm all by myself, oh God, I know I'm not, because you're always there with me. You're God Almighty. You're El Shaddai. You're the God of the whole earth. And I'm just going to give you praise. I'm going to. Don't that sound silly? No. Shake your head this way for no. And what we need to do is, listen, I believe that God will honor you, and you go to singing about how he's already brought you out. You just hadn't got there yet. The next thing you know, you're going to be out looking back at your problem and giving God glory for it. Look at somebody and say, he's a great God. He's a great God. He's God Almighty. He's a great God, and he's worthy, and he's always with me. He is that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. He was always there. I love that illustration. They just couldn't get away from him. No matter where they went, it was a continual reminder. He would look up and there's God Almighty. During the daytime, it was a cloud, and during the nighttime, it was a fire. He was just there. He was there when they would get in their lowest ebbs. All they had to do was look up, and they'd say, he's here. He's still here. You go to bed at night, and in the morning you wake up, and he's still here. Amen. He never left. He was keeping watch over you while you were sleeping. He was taking care of you. Even when you didn't deserve it, and you knew you did not deserve it, God kept his hand on you. God kept his hand on you, and he said, let me tell you, talking to the enemy of your soul, Satan, let me tell you, don't touch me belongs to me. She belongs to me. Yes. You keep your hands off of me. I'm here, and I'm going to protect them. He was there even in your lowest ebb and in your furthest rebellion. God was there. All you had to do is look up. He's there. He's there. He's always present. He's nowhere absent. He's God. He's omnipotent. He's in our tomorrow. He was in our yesterday. But he left yesterday there and got into the day and started looking toward tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God's still God and you and I are not in control. Listen, I love to, most of you know, I love Old Testament. I just love to read Old Testament. I love to study Old Testament. It's just so powerful. And everything that you find in the New Testament, guess where you're going to also find it? In the Old Testament. It's there. All you got to do is read this there. 1 Samuel 22nd chapter, David is held up in the cave of Adullam, right by himself. Been through a lot, been through an awful lot, been before the king of, before King Achish. Achish was king over Gath. Gath meant something to David. How many remember Goliath? Where was Goliath from? Gath. He had been before the king, and he acted like he had lost his mind. Even in Israel today, they have great respect for people that are mentally ill. They do. They look and they'll say, they're not right. Don't make fun of them. Don't mess with them. I mean, even today they do that. I've been on trips where I've seen this happen. And so he knew that if he acted as though he went mad, he'd be protected. I've done some crazy things before, but it wasn't for protection. It was because of stupidity. But he was acting as though he had went mad, and he stood before this king, and he sent him away. And when he sent him away, he went to this cave, the cave of Adullam, and he's in there, and he's held up by himself. But before he gets to the cave, something unusual happens. He goes to the priest Abimelech. When he gets to the priest Abimelech, he said, "Do you have any bread? I ran off in such a hurry." Now, he didn't tell the whole story. He didn't lie, but he didn't tell the whole truth. He said, "I was in such a hurry to do what the king had asked me to do that I forgot to get bread." That'd be like getting in your automobile to go to California and forgetting to put gas in it. But he said, I was in such a hurry that I forgot to get my provision. And do you have any bread? And Abimelech looked around. He said, "I have nothing in here but the bread that's consecrated. And only the bread that was to go into the temple is all that we have." And David said, "Well, I have that." And so he gave him the bread. And then he asked him something else. He said, "Hey, by any chance, do you have a spear or a sword that I might could use? I was in such a hurry to do what the king told me to do, I forgot to get my weaponry." Now, you know Abimelech didn't believe that. But he said, "You know, the only thing I have here is the sword of Goliath." That sword popped up again. How many of you know that things in your past have a tendency to pop up again? Come on, church. When you least expect them, when you least expect them, there it is. Shows up. Jumps right up in your face. And that sword that when he took the rock and turned it into a guided missile and he hit Goliath and knocked him down, he ran over and he grabbed Goliath's sword and he cut his head off. He defeated him with his own sword. And we don't hear what happened to that sword. We don't know. There's no biblical grounds until we get to this place in David's life and that sword shows back up. The priest has the sword. Abimelech has the sword. And he says, "All I've got is the sword of Goliath." And David said, "Well, I'll take that too." You know what? You know what that makes me realize, church? The thing that your enemy will use to destroy you, God will give it to you for your benefit. Amen. That's the reason Paul told us that we should welcome these trials. We should welcome them and know that God's going to turn these things around and he's going to use them for our benefit. I don't know about you, but I just kind of get excited when I think about here he is in this held up in this cave, and he goes over to the priest, and the priest tells him, "Hey, only thing I got that you can use is the sword that belonged to your enemy that was going to kill you with it, but God turned it around. You killed him with it, and here it is again." I believe that was a great omen for David. I believe David, when he saw that, he said, "You know what? I just believe God's in control here. I believe that God is in control, and I'm going to take that sword, and I'm going to do to the next enemy what I did to the last enemy with it. I'm going to use it because God put it in my presence again. He brought it to me again. He brought it to me, and so therefore I'm going to use it." Now you got to realize that when we look at David and we look at Goliath, when we got to know David felt alone right now, but Goliath had four brothers, and guess where they live? Gath. See, are y'all there with me? I'm about just totally lost everybody but me and Susan. And here. He had these four brothers. A lot of people say that's the reason that he picked up five stones. He only needed one, but he picked up five. One was for Goliath, and the other four was for four brothers. I don't know that that's the case, but it sounds good to me. It's preaching material. But what I want you to know is there's an abundance. God always gives you an abundance. Don't think God's provision is going to ever run out on you. Don't think you're going to get so far and all of a sudden it's over, it's out. No, when God provides, he provides from now on. He's God Almighty. And when he provided for David in that little fort where he fought Goliath, he used the same thing and provided for him later on. David was about to give up. He was about to throw in the towel. And all of a sudden, here come his brothers and all of the his father's house, the Bible says, and they come to David. Yo, this is so good. Don't ever give up.
Amen.
This will give you encouragement. If you're about to give up, don't give up. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. One of my favorite cartoons, one-liner, shows this crane. How many of you know what a crane is? A bird. Ditch bird. You see them in the ditches a lot. Here's this crane. And a frog. And the crane's about to eat the frog. But the frog reaches around and he grabs the crane by the neck. And he squeezes his neck to where he can't swallow. And so there you see the crane with the frog and the crane trying to swallow him, but the frog's holding on. No one would have to tell the frog, don't give up. Because when he opened his eyes, he'd be in the stomach of the crane. Are you with me? Listen, hang on. Don't you give up. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how difficult it seems. Don't you ever give up. Because if you don't give up, you'll eventually win. I don't know this, but I wish that they could have made a real cartoon out of that, because there were so many places they could have went with that the next week in the paper. You know, I could just see that frog. He's probably like me. You know, he gets a little jumpy every now and then, and, you know, he wants to be a little smart aleck, and I can imagine he's hanging on, and that crane is trying to get to him, and he's holding him away, and I believe that every now and then he let him get real close, and give him a little smooch and say, wouldn't you like to have a taste of me? Listen, church. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. And always know that whatever the enemy has that he's used against you, God will turn it around for your good. God will give you something out of it. He will use it. And I promise you that you'll never have to worry about having to redo what God did. He'll take care of you. The key to it is simple. Don't give up. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. And you need to be vocal about it. How many of you know that David was very vocal? Read his psalm. Read his psalm. The psalm that he wrote about his prayer there in the cave of Adullam was the 142nd psalm. Just write it down. You can read it later. Verse 1, he said, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. Verse 2, I poured out my complaint to him. Verse 5, I cried out to you. Verse 6, attend to my cry. He was always crying out. Maybe you and I need to start verbalizing what's in our heart. Maybe we just need to start verbalizing it. You know, maybe you need to tell the enemy of your soul, you know, say, hey, look here, devil. I'm not giving up, so you might as well. Yeah. When this thing's said and done, I'm going to still be here, glory to God. Amen. When the dust clears, I'm going to be right here. You know what? I just seem to love the story of David when he killed Goliath. When the dust settled, guess who was still there? David, stand up. Stand up, I'm through. Here we are in the midst of a great trial. And David felt like giving up. And he looked up. And here come all of these people. His brothers and the people of his father's house and every, I love the way the Bible says, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, and everybody that was in trouble. And here come all of these people. The Bible says there were 400 men. Just the men. There were 400 of them, and here they came. How many of you would be like me? I'd look at that army of misfits, and I'd say, what in the world am I going to do with that? You can't win a battle with people like that. God had sent them to him. He looked up, and here come all of these people, this army of misfits. And that army of misfits he used to conquer the enemy.
Praise the Lord.
So you know what that tells me? Whatever God gives you, use it to his glory. Whatever God gives you, use it for him. You may not be happy about it. It may not look like you want it to look. You may not use it where you want to use it. But for the glory of God, if he gave it to you, use it for him. Every head bowed and every eye closed with me for just a moment. Father, I love you, and I just give you the praise and the glory for all things. But Father, this morning I want to just give you the praise for being God and for providing for us and for always being with us and for never allowing us to be alone. I just want to give you the praise for that. And Father, I just want to thank you for the ability to just not give up, regardless of how bad it gets and regardless if everybody says, I'm about to go under, I know that you're with me and I'm not going to give up. I don't know what you're facing this morning, church, or what's coming against you. But I want to encourage you, God is with you. And don't give up. Don't give up now. God's about to do something great in your life. David's greatness came after the cave. David's greatness, two more anointings came. And it was after the cave. And I want to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. God is about to do something great in your life. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. There's good things about to happen. If the enemy has jumped on your back and is pushing you to give up, I want you to declare in your spirit, I won't give up. I will not give up. Now say it out loud. I will not.